We've all had moments in our lives that changed us. We've had moments where we met somebody, or a moment when we lost someone, or a moment that changed us for the good or for the bad. Maybe you can remember that moment where you picked up a habit and you wish you could take that moment back. Or maybe you remember that moment where you dropped a habit and you would say, that was a good moment in my life. You see, life is filled with seconds, minutes, and hours, days, months, years. But it's the moments in our life that really change us. When we look at the life of any great person, they're usually defined by a few moments. Thomas Edison, we think of the moment when the light bulb came on, don't we? Or that moment when sound first came out of the phonograph. And we think of those moments, and we kind of think of that. Douglas MacArthur, I shall return, you know. He was the second guy to say that, kind of famous, like Jesus being the first. We think of the moments, even when Jesus said, it is finished. And that was a big moment. That changed all of us lives. I'm reminded of a young soldier who had one of those kind of moments that changed his life, perhaps. It was a young soldier and his commanding officer got on a train together. The only available seats were across from a beautiful young lady and her grandmother. And as they were riding this train, the young man looked across there and he kept eyeing the young girl, and they kind of made a chemistry connection right there. And about that time, they went through a tunnel. And as they went through the tunnel, immediately they heard two sounds. There was the smack of a kiss and the whack of a slap across the face. The grandmother thought, I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad she gave him the slap on the face. He deserved it. The commanding officer thought, I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl, but it's a shame she missed him and hit me. The young girl said, I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him. And as the train broke into the sunlight, the soldier could not wipe the smile off his face. He had just seized the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and slap his commanding officer and gotten away with both. Sometimes you got to just take the moment and do what's right in the moment. Today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about moments that change us. Scripture's filled with moments that defined men and women. Genesis 25 tells a story of Jacob and Esau. And Esau was hungry, and in that moment, he wasn't thinking anything about anything except his stomach. He was thinking about food. So he comes in to Jacob, and Jacob was cooking just some bean soup. And it says that Esau was so hungry, he said, I'll trade you my birthright for a bowl of soup. And it did, and it changed his life forever. When King David saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop, he looked, and in that moment, he made a decision, and that decision led to the murder of an innocent man and the death of an innocent child, and it changed his kingdom, and it changed who he was. In that moment, it changed him. You see, not all moments like that are bad, though. Esther only needed one moment in the presence of the king to save her entire people from destruction. That moment was a good moment for her. Today, I want you to know that Moses needed only a moment at the burning bush to decide what he was going to do. Many people have had great moments. Mary only had a moment with Gabriel, but that one moment with Gabriel changed the course of her life and changed the course of the people of everywhere. And it changed our life because Jesus, God's Son, came to earth through that young lady. Today I'm going to speak to you about moments that change our life. So Moses led the nation of Israel out of slavery, but they lived in the desert for 40 years because they had a problem getting the slavery out of themselves. Through disobedience, through some of the things that they did, some of the mistakes they made, finally they all died. You see, every day was kind of similar. They got up, they had breakfast, and they went to funerals. They got up, they had breakfast, and they went to funerals. And they did this for 40 years until everybody who was an adult that came out of the nation of Egypt had died, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. Finally, Moses even died. Then we find that it was time to enter into the promised land. God said, I've got it whittled down to a group I can work with. I heard about a guy that started a church one time, and somebody said, how's your church doing? And he said, well, I finally got it whittled down to a group I can work with. Trust me, we're not whittling around here at the Brownstone. We're thankful that you're here. So one of my favorite verses is found in Joshua, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. And here's what it says. This was Joshua getting the people ready. And it says this: "Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." Now, I could preach an entire message just on that one verse. Amazing wonders, great wonders. That's what we all want to live like. That's how we want life to be. We want to get up in the morning and we want some amazing things to happen in front of us. We want to see God do amazing things. But see, there is a premise to that promise. And the premise is simply this: purify yourselves. You got to do the first part before you can get the second part. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Every promise has a premise. So the nation follows the Lord's commands, and they go to their first place that they're getting ready to take over, this land called the Promised Land. And the city's called Jericho. And we remember the song. We've heard it from the time we were little children, probably. Joshua fought the battle at Jericho, Jericho. We've probably seen the cartoon. We've probably seen the VeggieTales. We've seen the movie. We've heard the song. We know all about it. But what we don't realize is that it was an amazing time for these men and women, and it changed their lives. Because here they were, going up against a nation. And remember, they hadn't fought a whole lot in the last 40 years. They'd just kind of been surviving. And every day, God provided what they needed. And every day, they just did the same thing for 40 years. And so these people were, this was an untried army. They didn't know everything that was going on. But I want you to know, the first thing that will change your life, the first thing that changes us, the moment that will change you, are moments when we succeed. Success has a way of changing us. So in Joshua, the 6th chapter, I'm going to look at this story a little bit, and a few verses I'm going to give you. Joshua 6 and 20 says, "When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could." Here's the word: suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Success often comes suddenly, but it took a long time to get there. When it happens quickly, but it may not have happened overnight. Some overnight sensations got that way, but it only took 30 years. You've heard about some of these guys that make it big in Nashville, or they make it big in Los Angeles, or they make it big in Detroit. Suddenly they become somebody. They succeeded, but it didn't happen overnight. They were an overnight sensation, but you don't know all of the time that they worked and they struggled and they just barely scraped by. And one day they happened, and it happened. It seemed like it just happened suddenly. Here's what I know about suddenly: success that comes real quick, especially for young people. Many people who are gifted, young, talented musicians, young, talented athletes, very bright people who have made a success in business, sometimes it happens so suddenly that success goes to their head and changes them. They thought they had it together, but it all happened so quickly. It all happened so fast that it became more than they can handle. Yeah, success has a way of changing us. Success has a way of changing us the moment we succeed. That moment when all your hard work pays off, you get that raise or promotion. That moment you graduate from school. That moment when you buy your first home. We think those moments of success will be the end of happiness. That we'll finally be happy. You know, you pushed. You went to school. You worked. You struggled. You saved. You did all the things, thinking that happiness will surely come when I get to that point in that time in my life. And I get to that moment, I will be happy. But I have news for you. Happiness is not a destination. Happiness is a journey. And you need to know that the happiness that you will find is on the way to where you're going. Jim Carrey said it maybe best. We know the entertainer Jim Carrey, with all the rubber faces and all the things that he has done. Here's what he said: "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they dreamed of doing so they can see that it isn't the answer." You need to know that. You need to know that no matter how much money you have, no matter how much fame you have, no matter how many accolades you have, how many prizes you have won, how many people think you're just the greatest thing ever, you're not going to find fulfillment in that. It's not enough. It's never enough. Somebody recently polled a bunch of millionaires that all had $25 million or more. And they found out that these millionaires all felt like to be happy, they all needed at least one-third more money than they already had. How many of you would like to try to live happily on 25? Of course, we've all been there. We can't imagine how anybody could not be happy with that kind of money. But I tell you, happiness doesn't come from success. Success will change you, but it doesn't always come the way you think it was. The moment of success was great, but instead of capitalizing on it, we often learn the hard way that just like the children of Israel, that they had to follow God in another way. Because see, the children of Israel, that success of walking into Jerusalem, to Jericho right after the walls fell was a great thing, but almost immediately that success changed them into thinking they had it all figured out, which brings us to the second thing that changes us. The second moment that changes us is moments when we fail. Moments when we fail. Hey, if you're breathing air, you have failed. If you are breathing, if you have been on this planet for any length of time, you realize that there are times when you have made mistakes. There have been times when you have fallen on your face. You didn't mean to. Maybe you didn't expect it to happen the way it was, but sometimes failure just comes to us, to each one of us. Success had changed this group of untried soldiers. They had one battle under their belt, and suddenly they thought they could do it all by themselves. So they come to the second town. It's called Ai. It's spelled A-I. Go figure. And they said, oh, it's not that much of a city. We don't need the whole army. We don't need 300,000 of us. How about we just send 3,000 people over there to knock them off, and we'll just continue. So that's what they did. Unfortunately, Ai turned out to be a bigger challenge than they thought. And 36 of them lost their lives. And here's what we find out in Joshua, the 7th chapter and the 5th verse. It says, the Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Failure does that to us, doesn't it? Failure often paralyzes people. Failure will take you when you think you've got it all figured out. You've had a measure of success. You thought you had it all figured out. You thought you had the answer to the questions. You thought you had finally gotten enough success under your belt that now we're on a roll. And if you're not careful, you'll do what happened to the children of Israel. They suddenly thought they could do it all by themselves, and they discovered that it didn't happen that way, and then it paralyzed them. It paralyzed them. Moments of failure will suck the courage right out of you as well. Everything you thought you were good at. Have you ever found yourself in that place where you suddenly thought you were good at it? As a musician, I can tell you there were times that I would practice, and just every musician knows this. The moment we think we have it figured out, that scripture that we prove that scripture just about every time we play. Pride goeth before the fall. Just about the time we get it figured out, I suddenly grow an extra thumb. I don't know how that happens, right in the middle of playing something, or I start yodeling while I'm singing and I'm not actually trying to, or something happens. These moments, I can stand before you and tell you some amazing things of disaster that struck me because I thought that I had it figured out. I thought I could do it on my own, and it wasn't enough. And the moment that I failed kind of happened to me. You see, a church that's paralyzed isn't moving forward. A believer that's paralyzed isn't winning any battles. I like this statement. You're not defined by your defeat, however, but by your response to your defeat. Because all of us are going to fail at some times. Everybody's going to come into a battle that they thought they were prepared for, and suddenly they find out that something wasn't right. They attempted a little too much in their own strength, a little bit too much in their own talent, a little bit too much in their own past experience. And before you know it, they find themselves standing knee-deep in defeat, in failure. And what do? It's hard in moments like that. Defining moments are not only found in triumph, you see, they're found in tragedy. But you're not defined by your tragedy. You're defined by how you respond to it. You learn. Athletes learn it all the time because there's only one winner when two teams square off. And usually every team loses occasionally, unless you're the New England Patriots, and that's a whole other story. I want you to know they're baseball players. They strike out about as much as they hit the ball. And yet we consider them a success. If they're batting 400, 500, that's huge. So they failed. What do? They learn to look more closely the next time. They get back in the box and they try it again. The nation of Israel learned from their failure. They changed their plan and they went to what moment we all need to come to if we're going to get past our failure. It's the moment when we hear God speak to us. We find it in Joshua, the 8th chapter. It says this, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men.'" Notice he said, take all of them. Don't just send 300. Don't send 3,000. Take all of them. For I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. Then you jump down just a few more verses to Joshua 8 and 18 and 19. It says, "And then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Point the spear in your hand toward Ai, for I will hand the town over to you.' Joshua did as he was commanded. As soon as Joshua gave the signal, all the men in ambush jumped up from their position and poured into the town. They quickly captured it and set it on fire." Now, I like that word. We've heard the word suddenly. Now we listen to the word quickly. You see, when God's involved in something, it can happen a lot quicker. Man, we can try to make things happen. We can try to get that business off the ground. We can try to get that person to like us. We can try to do all the things. We can try to get our health in place. But when it's amazing when you put God in the middle of your circumstance, how quickly some things come to pass. It's just remarkable how all of a sudden, without as much effort as you thought in your own personal ability it took, God can step in at just the right time. You see, he's an on-time God. He does that. He shows up and in his strength, and they found this. The victory came suddenly. When God speaks, he doesn't need long, arduous conversations. I think God usually speaks in tweets, about 160 characters. God doesn't have to tell you a whole lot. He speaks rather quickly. You know why he speaks in short phrases? Because he knows exactly what he wants to say. He doesn't hem-haw. He doesn't beat around the bush. He gets right to it and tells you exactly what you need to know. So when you put your trust in God, when you put your faith in God, all you got to do is have one word from God. When he says go, you go. When he says stop, you stop. When Peter got ready to get out of the boat, he said, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." He didn't say, "Well, if you think you're ready. By the way, do you have a bathing suit under that? How long can you tread water?" He didn't say that. One word, come. When the lady was sick, there were times when people said, "Lord, if you would heal your servant." And Jesus said, "I will." Short answers, straight to the point. No question, no doubt. That's God. That's what Jesus does for us. When he speaks very clearly to us. He gives us direct answers. They're defining moments. You see, if you'll speak to him, I promise that he'll speak to you. I would start with listening to the Ten Commandments. That's a good place to start. He's already written them. Why don't we just follow those? I promise you, if you read his word, he'll speak to you. I promise that. If you speak to him, I promise you'll hear him speak to you, because God is speaking to us much more than we're listening. He will speak to you. All of these moments can be defining moments in our life. Here's a definition of defining. A defining moment is a point in which a person or a group's character is revealed. A defining moment tells us who we are and what we are. It can also be the moment at a point in which a foundation is laid for all that will follow. The moment may be a point or an occurrence that determines all related events that are going to happen after this one moment. See, today we're coming here and we're celebrating our second anniversary. I'm grateful that we're two. But tomorrow we're not going to be two. We're going to be two plus one. We're going to be two plus one day. That makes more sense. And next year we'll be three, and we'll continue to grow and we'll continue to get older. You don't stay in one moment. You just take that moment and let it propel you to where God wants to take you, to what God wants you to do. He will change you in the moment, but he's got more moments for you. He's got important things for all of us to do. Winston Churchill said it maybe perhaps the best. He said to each there comes in their lifetime a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing, unique to them and fitted to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared or unqualified for that which could have been their finest hour. Are we going to be prepared when God speaks to us and brings opportunity to us? Some years ago, my friend Andrew, who was playing keyboard today, he called me, asked me if I'd like to play the piano for TBN. That was a Christian television network, if you haven't heard of those guys. And years before, I had seen these guys, and I'd watched it on TV, and I would always hear a piano player kind of playing in the background when the minister would go to pray. And I thought to myself, I could do that. And it was just kind of on my list. I never followed through with it. And the Lord used Andrew just to call me one day, and he said, would you like to play at TBN tonight? And I said, what do I do? And he said, just make up something when they point at you. The reason you make it up is because you can't play anything that's copyrighted, and that's because it's going out on television. So what would have happened if that little dream that was in my mind to do that one of these days, I put that on the shelf, and I said, yeah, one of these days I'd like to play on TV and be heard all over the place, all around the world, perhaps. I was in Africa some years ago, and I heard myself. And so I know that it was kind of all over the place. But what would happen if I had never practiced? I thought, well, I'd like to do that, but I never practiced. I never did anything. I just thought, well, one day it'll come to me. You see, that's important that we get out there and we prepare ourselves. Just like Winston Churchill said, tragedy is when people just don't prepare for their finest hour. So when I got the opportunity, I was ready to go. I didn't know how ready I was. I was a little nervous, and when they pointed, I started making up stuff. And all of those years of playing in churches, all of those times during long extended altar calls, all that stuff, it all came together. And suddenly, I got to do something that I had wanted to do forever. Many people are spending their whole life talking about their own defining moments in life. But because of their preoccupation with their self, they miss the great opportunity to be the catalyst for a defining moment in the life of someone else. Did you know that there are people out there that you can help get to the point that God has them for? You have been uniquely qualified to lead someone to Christ. You have been uniquely gifted to help someone with the journey that God has somebody else on. You can do more than you think and more than you imagine. I'm going to start a new series next week called Why Didn't I Think of That? And it's simply going to be about all the stories in the Bible. I'm going to take a few of the stories in the Bible where God did something so out of character for humans because he thinks different than we do. He thinks higher thoughts than we do. His ways are higher than our ways. Isn't that wonderful that we serve a God who's not limited by our own creativity? That's not thinking just like we are, that actually thinks better than we think? Do you know there's so much that hasn't been invented yet? There's so much that hasn't been created yet, but God knows what it all is, and he's just waiting for some people to ask. Lord, do you have the idea for a brand new toilet brush? And he says, as a matter of fact, I do. How about a new electric car? As a matter of fact, I do. How about a new watch? As a matter of fact, I do. How about a vacuum cleaner? Yes, I do. Dyson doesn't have all of them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? God has it all figured out. He can work through you because he thinks different than you do. He's more creative, and in a moment's time, he can drop that end time into your life. But you see, sometimes it's just perspective. We don't think we have the ability. We don't think that one moment can change us. Our thinking is off. I heard this story about an organization in Montana that offered a bounty of $5,000 for every wolf captured alive. Two hunters named Sam and Jeb decided to head for the hills and make some money capturing wolves. 2 days and nights they scoured the mountains and forest searching for their valuable prey. Exhausted after 3 days of hunting without any success, they finally just fell asleep. During the night, Sam suddenly woke up to find that he and Jeb were surrounded by a pack of 50 wolves with flaming red eyes and bared teeth. Sam nudged Jeb and said, hey, wake up. We're going to be rich. It's all about perspective. Sometimes you're just looking at it wrong. You think that thing that looks so rotten at the time, God couldn't possibly use that in your life. And God is saying, I'm going to take what you think is the worst day of your life, and I'm going to turn it around and make it one of the best things that ever happened to you. Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask and above all we can think. He also makes good come out of bad situations. I don't know why we have to have all the bad things happen in our lives, but God's actually able to take all of that mess and turn it into something that He can work with. Aren't you thankful for a God that can turn your worst days into your best days? He can take right in the middle of a terrible moment, He can turn it around and say, now, I've got something I want to speak to you. And sometimes when we're broken, sometimes we're in the middle of a failure, sometimes we're in that moment when we can't get any lower, we finally just turn it over to God and we say, God, I'm tired of doing this by myself. I'm tired of all the times that I've tried and failed. I'm tired of just trying to accomplish a little bit more. I know that I have to come before you today. And that's when God says, good. Now I've got your undivided attention. I'd like to share something with you. And I believe that's when God often speaks to men and women, boys and girls. He'll speak to you like that today. We can live in the moment. We remember that. Sometimes people spend so much time thinking about the future, they can't live in the moment. Sometimes they live in the past with all the regrets, and they can't live in the moment. You can live right now and know that God is with you, because there's three things you need to know about God. In every moment, Jesus is with you. In every moment, we can trust Jesus. And in every moment, you need Jesus. We need Him today. You may be here today and you found yourself unsatisfied with the momentary success that you've had in life. Maybe you have reached a pinnacle. Maybe you have done certain things and you've said, I always thought that if I got to this point, I would be satisfied. And now that you've gotten there, you realize this is not it. Or maybe you're at that place where you woke up one day and here you were. And you feel like a failure. You tried something. You thought that if you got there, it would happen, and it didn't, and now you feel like a failure, and you're confused. You're not sure about things because all of that you had kind of, you had built the wall, and you had climbed the ladder of success only to get up to the top of the rung and realize that you were leaning the ladder on the wrong wall. It wasn't what God had for you. Maybe that's you today. You thought you had your life figured out. Well, I have good news for you. You can hear God no matter if you have struggled with success or whether you are successful. God will talk to you right where you are. I'd like you to bow your heads right now. Close your eyes. You might say, Lord, I need to hear you speak to me today. You might say, Lord, I need a change today. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor Steve, my life has gotten out of control. There are some things that I felt like once I had complete control over. I felt like if I could just make it to that point, I would be satisfied. I would be happy. I would be successful. It didn't work out for you. Maybe you are here today and, as I said, you have found yourself feeling a little bit more like a failure than a success. I want you to know God will speak to you in that moment as well. I'd like to pray with you today. Because no matter where you find yourself, either feeling like a success or a failure, God still wants to speak to you. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Steve, I just think I need change in my life. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I'm not satisfied with what God has done for me yet, because I know He has more. Then I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just simply want you to, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Can we pray together, church? Lord, today we come before you. We realize that you desire to change us from the inside out. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so today, Lord, I thank you that we can come before you and you will speak to us right now. Whether we feel like a success or whether we feel like a failure, you will speak to us right where we are. I'm thankful for it, Lord. I gave you praise today, Lord, because your hand is upon each one in this room. You can independently speak to each one of us at the same time, because that's the kind of God you are. You love us so much that your plans for us are perfect. You have things prepared for us that we've yet to think about. And so in a moment's time, I thank you that you're able to do great things among us. In a moment's time, you're able to change the trajectory of our life. In a moment's time, you can change our children's lives. You can change the generations that follow us. And it can all be in a moment, and it can be this very moment today. I thank you, Lord, for your hand that's upon Brownstone Church. And Lord, I thank you for your hand that's upon the men and women that are here today. Right now, Lord, I pray that you would speak. Speak boldly, Lord. We are listening. We, your servants, hear you today. We are grateful for your voice. We're grateful for your hand. We're grateful for the hand of correction. We're grateful for the hand of protection. We're grateful for your hand that guides us and leads us and moves us in ways that we haven't thought of yet on our own. I pray that right now, from this moment on, you would send us forth in a new way. Lord, we can't do it anymore without you. We can't do it on our own. We're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. We need you. We trust you. We want you. Thank you for it, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.